realtors, a few calls from potential buyers from the east side wanting to know if they can join our association. You know, same old, same old. Recent correspondence to Ed and I was from Mr. Freuden, the gentleman whose cottage burnt on Wildwood, wanting to know if we could give him some sort of a tax abatement since his cottage won't be rebuilt for a while. So I told him we would do what the town does, which originally I guess the town said they weren't doing anything and now has changed their mind, so I guess Ed's got to figure that one out. As far as the committees go, I've had a tremendous response from a lot of new people and some people that have been around for a while for all the committees, so I was very impressed with that. We have plenty of people for that. We'll talk about the boats later, but another call I got, I think I forwarded it to all of you, from the gentleman that asked us back in October what kind of pontoon boat to buy. We recommended solar, so he did, and now he has some questions on where to dock it or moor it, that type of thing. But we'll do boats on old business towards the end. So that's all I have. If anybody has any questions, yes, Jason.
Now, I just noticed someone joined. That might be a public comment person.
No, it's probably me because I'm getting on my phone. My computer's just frozen.
No, it's not you. It's Ryan Hartman. Are you there, Ryan?
Oh, okay.
I am. Can you guys hear me?
We can now.
Yep. No, I'm just trying to get involved and see what was actually being talked about. I didn't have any comment yet.
Okay. So we can move on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So let's move on to the financial report, starting with Lee, our treasurer.
Okay. I sent out my report. It's been a quiet month. So for income, we received $44.25, and that was our bank interest. Expenditures were $5,937.11. That's broken out for you in my documentation. I provided you with our current budget to actual, which also a documentation on our current account balances. And also the monthly cash flow balance report for March. Are there any questions on those documents?
Nope.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
And we'll hear from Ed, our tax collector.
Nope, you're on mute, Ed.
You're on mute.
Oh, you're showing mute. Can't hear you.
Volume up.
So your mute icon is not on. Maybe adjust your volume, Ed. No, that's not doing it either. We still can't hear you.
No.
Hey, can you guys hear me? Just checking.
Yes.
Okay. No, I switched to my phone.
Unfortunately.
I'll start singing if you want me to.
Should we work? Should we move on?
Yeah.
While work
forward.
Yes. Ed, why don't you log off and then log back on, and then you can join in at another point and give the report.
Okay, so let's go on to committee reports. You want to start, Angela?
Sure. So I sent you guys a really quick report. So the projector and the screen arrived. I had it shipped up to Cindy's house, so I wouldn't have to transport it. So hopefully the weather will cooperate. I want to try and do a test run the next week or two. My plans are to have all of the cords and adapters needed that if anyone else wants to run a movie night, or if we're able to get the Olympics to stream, you know, this summer, that any board member who wants to come figure out how to use it would be able to with their device. If I could get all the cords and adapters to go to the different to whatever everyone has and brings. So that is there. We have a few new events that we're adding to the calendar. Cindy and I just spoke about a new member event, maybe Friday, Memorial Day weekend, to welcome in members and get them together. And Sarah Baskin, she's not an association member. She's a renter, but you probably all have seen her beautiful artwork all over the Facebook page. She has these beautiful paintings. And she reached out about maybe doing an art show, and someone else had mentioned an artisan fair, so we kind of married those two ideas. And on June 12th, from 11 to 3 at First Beach, there's going to be an artisan fair with Sarah's paintings. Ryan Hartman and his son are making homemade bait, so they're going to be there. Kathy's going to be there. Kathy's going to be spearheading it. So that'll be great to get some new people involved and something a little different that we haven't done before. And then we had a trivia night scheduled for August 7th, and Evelyn, Kathy, and I went and checked out the DJ that was supposed to do it was unavailable because of a COVID change, because all the wedding dates are changing because, you know, COVID is moving everything around. So they recommended another DJ, and we're going to actually switch it to Music Bingo. So it's kind of like Name That Tune meets Bingo. It was a lot of fun. We went and checked the DJ out to make sure that it's something we thought the membership would enjoy. So again, it's just something different. So members would pay for their cards to play, and then some of the pot would go to the association to help cover the cost of the event, and then cash prizes would be awarded to whoever was the winner of that round of bingo, and the pot depends on how many people show up and how many cards they buy. So we thought that would be fun. Something that I didn't have on the report that we do need to talk about briefly, I don't know if we now, we're at the end of the business, but there seemed to be some problems with the links in the spring packet, which I had a few of them, and I know I was not the only one that had them, so I'm not sure that everyone's aware of all of the events and the things that are going on, because those links were not working in the spring packet. I'm not exactly sure why, when that was changed to a PDF, it didn't just say.
I think
Jason.
Mike has talked to, I don't know if it was Cindy that was copied on it, but he fixed the links. I'm going to be sending out a new update, an email blast saying that
there's
an issue with the links. You can
awesome.
And the one he had a problem with, and that might be Tim Helton, the link for the history of the dam and all that, there was part of that. He can't find that link to work or whatnot. So I don't know if you have the actual website link. You can email me and I can get it to our webmaster.
Sure, Jason. Happy to do it. We'll see if we can get a good handshake.
Okay. Thank you. But yeah, for that I'll send out a new email blast on that.
Great. Thanks, Jason.
We know for the future what we have to make sure. He said, make sure you do this for the next one, blah, 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 and we'll make sure it won't happen again. Just as a side note, we only had 4 people respond that they don't have email. And one of them does. They just wanted a printed copy. So only 3 people do have email.
Well, that was a smart financial decision. Yeah.
Are you all set, Angela?
Yeah, unless anyone has any questions for me.
I do, actually. I just want to remind you that I have started putting reservations up for members.
Okay.
So we just make sure that we keep an eye on the calendar that is posted on the website before we schedule something.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Hema, do you have anything new on the strategic planning?
No, Cindy. Nothing new to report. Get the people together after we get up.
Okay, great. Thanks. Corinne, you want to start? You want to? Or Tim, how about you? You want to go ahead with the septic idea?
Sure. The Lake Quality Committee has put together a draft program for the board to consider, and the end game is we're seeking your endorsement. The concept is that a poorly maintained septic tank may be leaching nutrients that eventually wash into the lake that compounds our whole algae and invasive species program. As you may or may not know, there's already a regulation on the pull of books that says you're supposed to pump your septic tank every 3 years. And rather use the stick approach of enforcing the regulation, the Lake Quality Committee would rather try and use a carrot approach and solicit 5 vendors with a discounted rate to pump septic tanks with the proviso that they could do 3 or 4 or 5 at one trip to the lake. So they get some economy of scale, and the related discount then gets passed on to the membership. And part of the deal with the vendor is they need to coordinate all the scheduling. So we are going to solicit five vendors for their best discounted price, and then all the rules of how the membership will play the game, will publish that. But essentially, you would call your favorite septic tank vendor from the list, or if you'd like to use somebody else, that's okay too. I mean, this isn't a you need to pick from the five. But in speaking with a number of folks around the lake, we've identified Wentworth, Ready Rooter, RB Valley, Olson Sanitation, and Suburban Sanitation as pumpers that have a positive history with property owners around the lake. So it is our proposal to reach out to those five vendors with a solicitation for a discounted pump-out price for 500 gallons, because you could have a 500-gallon tank, 1,000, 1,500. Price to locate the tank if you don't know where it is, and price to dig out the tank for the access point. So there'd be three different price points. We would publish it in newsletters. It would be applicable to both the east side and west side, and everybody can play with the list, or if you want to go a la carte and do your own thing, knock your socks off.
Great idea.
Thanks, Jim.
Can I add something?
Very good.
Does anybody have any questions for Tim?
I do. So does the discount or the rate depend on, say, if he comes out to three people? If you try to schedule them together, would it be anything like... We used to do that as neighbors. We'd say, okay, we're getting pumped next week, and we'd all do it and get a better price.
Right. Candidly, I don't know how many pump-outs can fit in one truck, but we would leave it to the vendor to consolidate, for lack of a better example, five properties to hit in one trip to the lake.
Okay.
And so instead of driving back and forth to the dump place, we're hoping that the vendor would pass along his cost savings to go pink, 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 pink around the lake and pass those cost savings on. What we don't know is they might look at us like I have three heads. It wouldn't be the first time people have thought that. But here's an opportunity to maybe get some economy of scale and pass that discount on to the membership, but more importantly, introduce a pump-out, septic tank pump-out system, which hopefully Big Vision Longview protects the lake.
Can I say something real quick? And in exchange, what we would be doing for them is giving them free advertisement in our newsletter and maybe an email blast or two. That's all we're going to do in exchange. We're not going to be scheduling or doing anything else, you know, like that.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ryan Hartman. So I'm actually a home inspector. I don't do anything with septic, but even more important than a regular pump out, you may also want to inquire about if we can get a discount on septic inspections. If your septic tank is cracked, it doesn't matter how often you pump it out. It's going to leach into the soil as soon as you flush the toilet. That's way, way, way more important. If your leach field is clogged or rooted and, you know, it's not leaching, it's going to find its way out of the pipe and into the soil before it's supposed to. So septic inspections, honestly, probably more important than a pump out. And I'll tell you, most people only get it inspected during a home inspection whenever they buy a house. I just purchased two houses on the lake in the last two years, and both of them, the systems had basically never been looked at in probably 15, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and I'll add that price point to the we'll call it the shopping list that we'll put out to the vendors. And a couple of, you know, we're dealing with personalities here. Some people may not want to do it, because if their septic tank has failed, it's a big ticket item to get it fixed. But I'm trying to look beyond this, and our committee is trying to look beyond this. It has nothing to do with individuals. It has everything to do with protecting the lake. But I think it's a great idea to add what is your cost for a septic inspection to the shopping price list.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started to lobby this around with other folks, a couple of are on this call tonight, the question came up, if Acme Pumping identifies a problem, do you have to go with Acme Pumping for the repair? No. I mean, it'd be smart to say, ask me what's your best price, and that gives you a price point to shop around. But what we're really trying to do here is you know, get septic tank pump outs on a as cost-effective a basis as we can to motivate people to do it. And I'll just share with you a quick anecdote. A long time ago, I was president on your side, and I sent out a sort of an inquiry to say, do you know where your septic tank is? And you'd be amazed at the number of people that responded, what's a septic tank?
Yeah. Oh, no, trust me. He said, I'm a home inspector. I see it every day. People have no idea.
Right. Jim, did you hear me?
Yeah.
The rules and regulations require a septic pump out every 5 years, not 3 years.
Oh, okay.
And that's in the... And we would probably, in anything that we want to put out, it's in the rules and regulations of the association, which were last amended and effective June 1st, 2014.
You should change that.
I'm sorry?
You should change that. That's way too long.
Well, I think most of, a little over 270 of our properties are cottages, so they're seasonal versus the year-round houses. We have about 120 year-round houses within the Lake Association. But for purposes of what's in the regulations right now, it's every 5 years.
Okay. We can always look at changing that if we ever really need to.
Yeah, or you could have a year-round and a seasonal window. Whatever fits.
Hey, Jim, just a suggestion. I'm thinking, one, the vendors might want a certain minimum of people in order to get a discount, and some of that might be achieved by telling people the discount needs to be performed in the month of June and July, you know, to sort of force people into that window to get higher participation at a time, or whatever month, third time of the year.
Right. It's an excellent point, Jason. And part of the, you get more flies with honey, in the RFP itself, or the proposal itself, it says they're getting access to 400 properties. And so that sweetens the deal a little bit. Part of our proposal is they get paid on the day of service. So it's another piece of the grease on the wheel to try and turn this process forward. And so we traded off scope, 400 property owners, cash on the barrel head, but you've got to schedule them and set them up. And that's the quid pro quo back and forth. Now, are they going to go for this? We don't know. But at this point, do I have board endorsement to take my best shot?
So just raise your hand if, I don't think we need a motion, raise your hand if you are on board with Tim presenting this to some companies. So, yeah, I think it's unanimous. So,
okay.
So you have our go-ahead for that. And so when do you think you will present that? Because I think it would be interesting to see what kind of feedback you get as soon as possible so that when people first get here, seasonal people will start thinking about it right away.
Yeah, I will send it out in the next 7 days with a 7-day turnaround request. So that gets us into, you know, early May. And if you want me to do a spiel at the June meeting, great. Whatever. But we'll put it in the newsletters on both sides and promote it. And we'll see if we get a bite.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
All right, I'm going to disappear.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye, Tim.
Good night.
Well, let's finish with these, and then we'll go back to Ed. Properties, Gary, do you have anything?
Yeah, I got a few things. I talked to American Pride about 2 weeks ago. They're our landscaping company, and they'll be starting to clean up probably any time, depending on the weather.
They were today.
They were there today?
Yeah, they are. Those guys do a great job.
Hey, a lot of job. Yeah.
I watched them in Third Beach. They were amazing.
That's good. Good. They've already started. That's good.
Yeah.
Of course, I've done a few more signs in the last month. you know, now we're getting ready to do the swims and swim lines and the rafts and everything, getting everything together. Of course, we have the work party on May 15th, Saturday, to install the rafts and swim line. So hopefully everybody can attend. I do have one problem here. Mike Troupas is not going to clean the beaches anymore. I guess his kids got real jobs, so they can't do it and he doesn't have time. I have somebody for Third Beach already, but I'm going to have to put out an email blast, I guess, to try and get some kids to do First and Second Beach. He may be selling his machine there sometime later this summer, so maybe there's a possibility we might want to look into buying it and you know, doing it ourselves or something, but at least in the beginning, we're going to need probably have to hire a couple of kids. It's too bad because Mike did an excellent job, but I could not talk him into it. So, worst comes to worst, I could probably borrow his machine and do it, you know, once or twice a week maybe, just to make it look a little bit better. I don't think I have a problem with that. But we're asked, of course, now that the weather's getting better. And my crew gets down here. We'll probably get that boat rack up in May, Dave. I'm in here on First Beach anyway. Send that boat rack. It needs to be done.
Sure.
I also talked to John Allegra about doing that right away, fixing that right away up between Wildwood and Lakeshore, right by a little beach there. It's in very, very bad condition.
Yeah,
so
it is.
And he is going to get on it and give me a price and take a look, see what we can do. The only other thing is the porta potties. This is something that Lee takes care of, but it is part of my property. Is the company has been doing it for a long time now. They're not going to do it again this year. Lee's been shopping around trying to get somebody else, and so far we have not been able to get anybody else because we own the porta potty, so they're only doing the cleaning. They don't rent them to us. So, but Lee's going to keep looking, and hopefully he'll find somebody that be able to do it.
Lee, did you try Finkel Days?
He is on my list. I just spoke with Lori from Old State Brook, and Single Day is one that she recommended. So, yes, I would definitely check with him. I've called 10 vendors so far.
Oh. Thanks, Lee. Jeez.
Otherwise, all the board members will have to take a week and clean them there. Just kidding. I'll put that in a minute.
Hey, Gary. Do you have a feel for how much he's going to be looking to get for that tractor when he sells it?
No, not yet, but I'm going to ask him. Okay. I'm going to go to him and talk to him. You know, if it's cheap enough, it could be a good deal. If we want.
I think it'd be a wise investment.
Yeah. I told him not to sell it until he talks to me. So.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
I'm sure it'll be enough that we have to bring it to the membership, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably would, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a good idea anyway.
Yeah. You all set, Gary?
I have a question. Yeah, sure. Paddle boat that's been sitting on First Beach. The guy never picked it up. I reminded him again. No response.
Do you know who it is?
No. Yeah, I can give you his name.
All right.
I have to look it up.
Give his name and number, and I'll see if I can get him.
I just have his name from Facebook. I don't know his address. There's nothing on the boat, but it's been sitting there. He said it got stuck in the ice, and 3 weeks ago, a month ago, he said he was going to go get it, and he hasn't. It's still sitting there.
Well, I pulled it up there in the fall, and when it was windy days, it was drifting down the lake, and it drifted up by First Beach, so I pulled it up on the beach. I have no idea who owns it. There's no idea.
Yeah, there's nothing on it. Okay.
Yeah, if you text me his name, and maybe I'll get him on Facebook, and yeah, worst comes to worst, we'll bring it over there or something there.
I mean, we have a list of owners, so if you give me his name or Jason, we can look up his contact info.
I only know, guys. I'll look it up again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Gary?
Okay, we've got something there.
Are we going to talk about surveys now or at all tonight or later? Or
It's old business, right?
Yeah,
I didn't know if it was going to properties or what.
Well, I'm not. I know the board last meeting decided we weren't going to do any more surveys until we get the situation taken care of up there by right. So
okay.
Right now I'm plans on doing any more.
That's any right. More I forgot we decided that last meeting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Did we get Rob Wright's survey yet?
We're not getting it. That's Rob Wright's survey.
Well, I mean, has he said anything about his survey?
Yeah, no. I talked to him about a week ago. I saw him walking his dogs, and I kind of, you know, was asking him about it. He said he did not get the report back completely yet, so he's not
okay.
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have anything on the Geese Committee report, Evelyn?
Oh, yeah. So, I swear they taunt me. I can hear them out there at night. I can't find them. So Nutmeg Farms was out. They've been out last three Saturdays or Sunday. So far, they've found two nests, 5 to 6 eggs in each. One is over, if you go to the end of the state boat launch, to the right down there in that little cove. The other is in the cove across from First Beach by the ice house. She's going to come back out again. There's been nothing on the causeway on the other side there. They're going to come back out again this weekend and look. Typically, if you see a goose swimming by itself, there's a nest nearby. So if you guys see anything like that, let me know. And, I mean, if that's all, I'm not sure. She says the rest could just be flying in when it's that time of year. So we'll see.
Thank you.
So what happened, did you say, what happened to that population of geese that we had? Are they just all gone somewhere nesting? And
yeah, she thinks they're migratory. They just come here when, you know, they're ready. Or they could be up at the
gotcha.
Farm.
They're up behind my gotcha. House a lot. They're behind my house. I counted them one day. There was 100 behind my house. They come up there and eat the grass.
In the last week?
Probably about 2 weeks ago, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where they're building their nests, because they typically build them near water. And she said what they'll do is, in the middle of the night, a couple of days after they hatch, they'll walk down the street and go to the water. So you don't ever really see them coming down there, and then the next thing you know, they're all over the beach.
Yeah. So they're playing cat and mouse, goose and mouse with us.
Yes, they are. They're taunting me.
They are.
Midnight raised goose party.
All right, so Ed, do you, I think nobody has any questions for Evelyn, correct? Ed, do you want to do your report now?
Yes. The only thing I have to report is I'm still working with the town on the grand list. There's still, we've had a lot of sales of property, so there's will be a lot of name and address changes, and it's and the assessor's office is the assessor herself has resigned. That happened a month or so ago, so there's only a part-time assistant that's there. So we'll be ready as ready as they can be when they send the grand list, and we should have a good number next month to be able to for the board to set the mill rate. So I will provide something in advance with the total grand list. Take the budget that was approved, divide it. We'll come up with a mill rate which the board will approve.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Any questions for Ed? Thanks, Ed. So that brings us to old business. Gary covered the survey.
How about Rick?
Oh, I forgot about you. How could I do that? I'm so sorry. I'm trying to forget about that contract.
We finally got it back.
I know.
Day, right? It's unbelievable. Well, the problem with, you know, Solitude's become a very big company at this point, so nothing gets turned around quickly, or we don't have that small town feel anymore with them. But anyways, we got it. We do have a weed treatment date. I don't know if I told you last meeting, but I confirmed it with them again today, of June 28th, which is a Monday. The only thing that would change that at this point is weather, and then it would probably be the next day. Do I have to do anything formal? I think that should go ahead and go on the calendar as long as we have the date.
Eventually, I'll put it in a news blast once we get a little closer.
Is it going to be on the calendar sooner than later, just so people know and for rental pro- no?
Yes, yeah. I will update the calendar ASAP.
Okay. Cool. Okay. We found another grant that's available through Connecticut Federation of Lakes. So we'll be applying for one more grant. We're trying to get some money to do our stream sampling. So that's due May 12th. We're hoping maybe we get $1,000 from this grant. We're still waiting for answers on two other grants. One also dealing with stream sampling. The other one would be money for the retention basin, but we have not heard about those. The only one we know we didn't get was the one from the state. I guess it was very competitive, as we mentioned in the last meeting, and we were going to use that to do some further algae testing in the lake. On the subject of algae, obviously the last couple of years we've had some minor blooms off and on. We've had some high nitrogen and phosphorus readings. So along that line, you know, we'll be starting up again the middle of May in our twice monthly testing of the lake for a variety of things, one of them being algae. We're also, the lake committees meet again tomorrow night. We're back to meeting once a week at the moment. And in the meantime, I'm going to get a hold of Chatham Health. That's the health district that dealt with Lake Pocatopog when they had a problem. Not that we're foreseeing that, but we're just going to want to get a protocol in place just in case. We haven't had it happen. Heaven forbid we get a real green bloom in one of the swim areas. We haven't really had that during the season. And we want to have the right protocols in place and know who to call there and what the right thing is to do. The LIC committee, or LIC, certainly doesn't want to be the decision maker when it comes to anything like that. So hopefully by the May board meeting, we'll have something just to present to you guys so you all will feel better knowing that there, you know, we know what we're supposed to do if something like that occurs. Does that make sense? Chatham Health dealt with the Lake Pocatopog problems, so they have a protocol in place for something like that. Any questions about that? You had on the agenda next to me dam, Cindy. We're asking, and I don't know if some of you know, you all know that Tim Pelton's actually the head chair of our dam committee, and we have people from both sides of the lake on this committee. And we are hoping that we can really be a major part of the agenda of the board meeting next month because we'd like to get ready to present something in June. So if we could please have some time next month, that would be great. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any questions for Corinne?
Nope.
Did I forget any other committees? No? Okay. So old business. I don't know if this is really old business, but I just need to know exactly who's leaving and who's staying on the board. Can I know that? Like, whose term is up and wanting to leave? Harry.
My term is up, and I'm not going to seek re-election.
Right. So everybody else is thinking of...
And I haven't decided either what I'm going to do, but I'll let you know.
Okay. I'll put you as a
question. I have 2 years left. I can't remember. I'll probably still be on.
I've got 2 years this year and next year.
I thought I sent out
It's just me and Cindy left. It's me and Cindy, and I'll be running again.
But yeah,
it's me, Cindy, Emma, and Gary.
Gary, those are the four that I saw.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, Lee's got a question.
He's clapping.
He's clapping.
What are you doing? He's clapping. That wasn't a question. Learn your emojis, Mr. Griffin.
Okay, so just so we know what to look for. Um, surveys was the other thing I had. Is there any other old business that we're not thinking of? No?
Are we going to do any revising of the nominating committee sheet that was given, or are you just going to do that yourself, then, or is that something we do together?
Well, I thought the committee would kind of work on that with me and kind of formulate, go over using what they use, plus maybe some new ideas.
Okay.
Okay, so I think that's all the old business.
I have a question before.
Huh?
I think it's new business. I have something.
Okay, go ahead.
Say boat launch. People coming in with gas engines, and I sent an email about a sign, and Angela gave me the DEP thing. Gary, can you work with me on that sign? We have put signs up there ourselves, and they just take them down.
Right. No, I can work with it. We could try to do something there.
Okay.
So we can put something on there, so they won't be around scooter time, maybe. The special bolts so they can't unscrew them.
We did that. We put one out there ourselves. When you get to the fence that road ends or something,
right?
Put one on there, it's gone. I don't know if DEP took it. We put the ones you punch in the ground, those disappear.
Right.
I wonder too if that continues to be an issue if we share. When Tony spoke to Deep, you know, the thing that he said was that if you're going to report anything, you have to have those five things. Otherwise, there's no way that they could follow up with people. So I wonder.
They don't do anything.
Well, they said that they would, but they said that they can't do it if they don't have all that information. So if someone calls and just says, you know, there's a boat and they don't have, like, a number or know those other pieces. So if it's something that's a problem, I don't know if it's something we communicate with members. But, you know, these are, if you happen to see it, like, these are the things that you know, should jot down or look for, and then this is the number to call to report it, to just try and have the membership be a part of the solution and keeping them off the lake and keeping the lake clean.
I have called that number. A guy comes out and he says, there's nothing I can do except tell him not to do it. There's no ticket, nothing. Just don't do it again.
I agree we should need the sign, but I'm wondering even with the sign if they're just going to ignore it anyways.
Well, maybe it'd be a little more obvious. Because they don't see it in that kiosk.
I agree with that.
Let's put a fake camera up there. Let's just put a camera. Pretend like they're being recorded.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
They put one right at the end of my dock. That's where I stand and yell.
You know, but really, if they see a camera there, they might think twice about putting their motor in the water. Even though it's not really doing anything, they don't need to know that.
Right.
I think it might be a good idea to put in the newsletters every week or other week the five things that you just talked about.
Yeah.
So that it's fresh in everybody's mind. If they happen to see it, they can immediately find the information of what to do about it.
Maybe they get more calling than just me.
Yeah.
I feel like if there's, you know, again, if it's a big issue and a lot of people are complaining, that might prompt a little bit more action on the part of Steve.
The guy that we said something to the other day was like, oh, okay, I'll just go over to Moody's. Okay. That's fine.
How many boats are you actually using their motors? I've never seen that many anytime I've been fishing, but.
Last year we had a few.
Yeah, there were quite a few last year.
There was quite a few last year. This year, we've seen the one, and he did not have an electric motor. He had the gas engine prop.
And he was using it then?
Yeah, he got to the end of the dock where Dennis happened to be working on the dock, and he said, could you come in a minute? Told him he had to leave. He said, okay, I'll go to Moody's.
Well, we can do the best we can do. If we can do a sign, yeah, and we can remind our members, although it's not our members that are doing it.
No.
You know, but we can, that's the best we can do.
I just think if we put something that's a little more obvious and harder to remove, yeah, with DEP's permission, maybe it won't get taken.
Right.
Evelyn, do they have a sign that they use in other lakes?
I don't know.
They might have something that they use.
Angela had a contact who said they gave a whole description of how, what the sign should be.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that.
So I can ask.
But feel free to call them, Dave, and check it out.
Yeah, I have a phone number I've had in my phone for a while. I talked to a guy who was there. He said, take a picture of the boat, get the serial number off the boat and call, and we'll give him a ticket. And I guess that apparently that must have changed. That's how it used to be. You didn't have to confront the people. You just take a picture of the boat, send the picture to DEP, call the number, and they'll issue a ticket.
They won't go in the water after them. They'll wait for them to come out, but they won't wait.
Yeah, right.
Them.
Yeah. Right.
Or we could put a big sign up on a post, drive the post in the ground, kind of put concrete so they can't pull it out. Put a big sign there with the special screws so that you can't really take them off. I mean, anybody, if they want to destroy it enough, they can, but for most people, they're not going to. And if we get DEP's permission to put it there, maybe it'll stay.
Okay.
Right.
Good plan.
We'll talk, Barry.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. So the last issue that I had was the boat, the dock, the rack. So I think I asked you all for your input and read everybody's, and I think everybody agrees that one of the simpler, wouldn't solve it totally, but one of the simpler solutions would be to add more racks. And I think you mentioned that you're definitely going to do them at First Beach, but is there any reason we can't do another one at Second?
We can maybe put a little bit more. I mean, Second Beach is not a lot of room.
Pretty cool.
Well, I noticed where the picnic table was. It's moved out now. It's still under the tree, but it's moved out, and there would be room there. Because isn't Second Beach is the highest?
Yeah. Gary,
it's full except for the top. Yeah.
I have a suggestion. You know that rack where we put all the John boats? We might be able to do something over there.
Yeah, we could put an ad.
You know, there's more real estate over there. We might be able to put something over there.
Yeah, he's
probably
by the volleyball court.
So. Yeah, yes. And we need to put more hitching posts in for the pontoon boats. There's already somebody who stuck a post in the ground that we're going to have to take out. You know, his own personal boat. We don't allow that. We took all those out years ago. And if people start sticking posts in the ground, it's going to be a mess like it used to be. We need to give them a place to hitch their boat.
Yeah, we should put hitching posts there on Second Beach, also Little Beach, too.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to that guy that wanted to put the pole up the other day. I saw him down Second Beach, and he was talking to me. He still wants to put a pole up there, and they can't put a pole up. And he wanted to put a dock out there, and he said he can't put a dock on Little Beach. And, I said, you can put your pontoon boat out there and hook it to something. I said, we're probably going to put some more hitching posts out so you can tie it to that. So
yeah.
So are you talking about Mr. Chase, Gary?
Yeah, the guy that bought the
company.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't have to call him back then. You already handled it?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to try and do anything too crazy. And then he wanted to put his pontoon boat at Second Beach over by right where the beach is. I said, no, you cannot do that. You got to put it on the other side where most of it's right there. So.
Angela, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, so really quick, Gary, Tony's will volunteer to help you build more at Second Beach. And then thinking about trying to get more to fit in, and again, I'm not the engineer, this is Tony, so I probably should have asked him this before I embarrassed myself and asked the group, but if we need to get more boats in there, would we be able to, like, it seems like there's a lot of space in between, like, where people's boats end and before, like, the next piece of wood starts for the next shelf, like, would we be able to, like, adjust that slightly and everyone's things still fit, and maybe would that give it, like, another row, or does that not make sense?
I could take a look at it. I don't know if we could lower it too much.
Yeah, you have to reinvent the wheel.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, you have to take it all apart and start from scratch again.
Okay.
There's no reason why people can't stuff as many boats as they have in one hole. That's my complaint. You know, if you have four or five boats, put them in one space. Put a pile on top of each other. You don't need to be taking two or three spots.
Right.
Sorry.
Lee, did you have something?
Yes, you asked me to look into what the cost for charging a boat at Second Beach an average. To the best I can calculate, it's between 65 and 80 cents a day for one boat.
Okay.
But the bigger issue is the cord going from the plug down to the boat, which is more of a trip hazard.
As far as I'm concerned, we should take that plug right out of there. There's no need to have a plug there. Takes away the problem.
I think I don't use it much. We used to use it, but we have with the solar, we hardly ever use it. I think, you know, we want to provide a good service for our association members, you know. It's really pennies that you're in that is costing, really. I mean, if we're going to keep it there, we should run something down to the hitching post on the ground, wiring, and you could put some outlets there. I mean, I really don't think it's much money. I mean, it's like people charging their cell phones at the pavilion. It's not much money. I mean, no, we're going to nickel and dime. We're nickel and diming, everybody. We're here to all have a good time and provide a little service. So, yeah.
I guess that's better than having extension cords run across the grass. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, that was the big thing at First Beach, that everybody was there running extension cords up to the pavilion, which wasn't good. So, you know, but if we ran something down underground and, you know, hooked up a few outlets there, I don't think it's a big problem. That's my opinion. I mean,
we should look into it.
Like I said, the only alternative for people if they don't have solar is to run generators if they wanted to. I tell you, those batteries, you get out of a pontoon boat, you're not going to take them in and out. They're too heavy. They're too cumbersome to take out. And I don't think you want to see some a bunch of generators running down there. So.
Yeah.
Can I talk? I think Jason had his hand raised a while ago. Hold on, Chris.
I will defer to Corinne, and I will go after Corinne.
Okay.
I mean, I think most of you know how I feel, but I want to make sure you know why I feel the way I do. A, you're going to really put in what's the charging station, and you really got to look into, you know, obviously what the correct way would be to install something like that. And then the nightmare begins. There's nothing to do with money with me at all, though, of course, but if you did do something like that, of course, there should be a charge. It's just a whole other thing that we're supposed to organize and regulate. And until a committee is put together to really look into what this would mean to have a marine charging station and how would people get access? And if it's sitting right there, is it the three people on boats who get their boats in the water quick enough? And that now their boats are living in front of the station. I mean, I just think there's a lot of things to think about as far as insurance, whether we want to start running a small marina. We don't owe it to people to be able to charge their pontoon boats right now. And I just think we're opening a whole can of worms to try to start to regulate something else. We have trouble regulating the rules we have. And I just don't know how you would run this charging station and who would have access to it and how you'd regulate that. And in the meantime, what I personally don't want to see is any poor resident going out and investing in a boat because they think it's okay to charge their boat and run an extension cord. In the meantime, you know, across the grass and by the playground and everything that's been going on. I know it hasn't been going on with a lot of people, but I also think the majority of people didn't think they were allowed to do that. So we definitely have to at least nip that in the bud in the meantime until some serious thought and research is done, because you are going to open a can of worms. Then people are going to buy boats thinking, you know, they've got this charging station they can use. And it won't be just a couple of boats. It'll start to get to be a lot of boats. And next thing you know, that lagoon could be filled with boats that want to be charged. And I don't know how much of a threat the use of generators to charge boats. I guess they'd have to put the generator on their boat while they're charging their boat. I don't know. I mean, you know, if we start to get people lining up and running noisy generators on our property, of course we have recourse to stop them from doing that. So I don't know if that would really come to fruition. But I just think some very serious research and thought into what that would entail, you know, giving people a place to charge their boats would mean to our board and future boards as far as regulating something like that.
Jason?
I actually agree with everything Karim said, but on a side note, and I say this without any sarcasm, and this might open a can of worms, I actually feel if we're going to build some more boat racks, and we're not really doing any enforcement of Evelyn and Kathy went around, there's about 30 boats, 2.5 dozen boats without stickers, why don't we just get rid of boat stickers? And I'm, in all honesty, I'm saying this seriously, it doesn't seem like it's that huge of an issue. We're going to have more spaces. It's first come, first serve. The boat stickers, although it does track where people's houses are, we can contact them. Hey, people are adults. If we say in our newsletters, make sure your address is on your boat somewhere so if it gets lost, people know who to return it to. If you don't do that, well, then, you know, that's your loss, that your boat disappears and no one knows where it's to. But again, it's just one more thing for us to track and keep on top of. If we just say, hey, there's boat racks, use them at your will, but you can't use them between March 15th and November 15th or whatever dates it is, and get it off our hands.
I agree with you, Jason. I don't see any need for the stickers at all. Kath?
Yeah, I agree with Corinne and with Jason about the racks and the pontoon boats. I think that the pontoon boats, I think that there was, you know, years ago, just, you know, a small faction of people that had them. It wasn't a problem. And I think that it is growing. It's growing. And I think it's going to continue growing, especially if we say, hey, we're going to give you an outlet to charge them with. And then, you're going to have two outlets to charge them with. They're going to want two, they're going to want three, whatever, you know. So I think it could be a problem going forward. I don't think we need the stickers either. I think people can just write their names and addresses on the boats and stuff like that. But I didn't know if we were going to talk about changing the date that people can have the boats on the rack. I think that's something we should do. You know, through like March 15th to November 30th or whatever like that, just for the year-round residents at least, you know, for the boats. And I didn't know if you wanted to get into talking about, you know, trying to police it in any way. I think we do really good in the fall, you know, policing it and getting it, but now I think we need to kind of do that in the spring as well, and making sure everybody's got a name and address on there as well.
Barry?
I agree with Kathy about the moving the date. I would say March 15th to November 30th is fine. And then I think there's less chance and more people are going to start putting them on too early, because even March 15th, there could still be snow there, and most people aren't going to go down there. I'm not trying to be a pain here with the pontoon boats, because I own one, but remember, like the sailboats, people can start docking them out in the water. And there's nothing you're going to do about it because we don't own the water. So we have a choice. Do you want them all nice and neat on the land, or do you want them all scattered all over the water? So.
Well, I don't. Whether they dock them in the water or on the land, I mean, if they dock them in the water, then obviously they're not running an extension cord to electricity, right?
I don't think that's the question. Yeah, that's the thing. But as far as... you know, some people don't want the pontoon boats all docked there, but the other alternative is going to be for everybody to put them right in the water. And you could put them 5 feet out of the water, and there's really nothing we can do about it.
Right.
Well, we could, but that's a different subject. That's it. But that's not, just, you know, that's nothing to do with them charging them. And they can't just put them anywhere. I mean, there's literal rights. They can't block people going in and out from a boat launch.
Right.
They can't control them anywhere.
You can't, but I know years ago, we had a lot of sailboats out by the entrance to the lagoon. I mean, I'm talking about 30 years ago, maybe. Out by the lagoon, there would be like 10 sailboats docked out there. Pontoon boats, I'm just saying. If people have pontoon boats, they're going to find a way to use it.
Yeah. Gary, as far as mooring the boats out there, when we set up the swim lines originally, Deep came out. The only specification they had is you must leave an open lane on the second beach where people put the boats in the water, they can't block that with more boats. Yeah. It could be out farther, but you have to leave an open lane.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to block it, but you would have right. You could have a lot of boats out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Angela?
So I'm not opposed to looking at putting it underground if we're worried about the... If we're worried about an extension cord being a hazard and people tripping over it, but I feel like more and more, so it's not even just the pontoon boats, like any boat, like if someone takes out fishing, like more and more things have electric batteries, and they're 60, 70 pounds now. They're not like they used to be that you would like carry them back to your house. So I do think we really need to be mindful of, you know, again, I think that you have people that are on a lake that are using the lake that are enjoying the lake. So I think that we need to really look at our options and be smart here. And you have people, like I know of one member who was like in the process of buying a pontoon boat, and that person is, you know, again, under the assumption that the whole time this person has been an owner here, people have been charging a second beach and there hasn't been a problem with it. And now all of a sudden if we start a new rule that we are not able to enforce, that's a pretty big investment that that person made. So I just think we need to look at, I don't disagree that we need to do it right and be sure that we're careful about it, but I think we need to be thoughtful and not, you know, going back to Gary's point about, you know, generators and stuff, I think we should be smart and not like bite our nose to spite our face, so to speak. Because it's not just the pontoon boats that are going to need charging. It's a lot of the boats.
This is a big discussion that was discussed very heatedly in a June meeting in 2019, and the majority of people there did not want people charging their boats for a variety of reasons. Again, like I said, you're going to try to do something and you like this, you got to do it the right way. But I don't think at this moment in time we owe it to people for them to be able to charge their boats. It hasn't been a thing around here in the last 7 years I've lived here. It's a recent phenomenon as far as I know and anyone else can concur that people are all of a sudden deciding they can charge their boats there. So there's not a long history of it.
Well, I have to say, I agree with Gary. You know, all we do is what can't we do? What can't we do? What can't we let people do? To me, it's a very small thing that we can allow people to enjoy the lake and have pleasure in their boats. I don't have a boat, but I just think and it may get a little worse, but I don't think it's going to get a traffic jam like New York City. And I just think it's a nice thing that people can have. That's my opinion. Evelyn?
I think they've already been charging down there. The issue kind of is the cord running over, and it isn't just pontoon boats. There are the fishing boats, like Angela said. I think we should try to figure out a way to make it safer.
Yeah.
But they've been doing this over there, and they're considerate from what I've heard. They take turns. You charge, you go. It's not like somebody is just going to sit there and leave their boat. So, I mean, if we could be considerate and kind without having to enforce more rules, just make it safer.
Well, yeah, make it up the code, make it safe, and then realize, you know, what that could turn into. That's all I can see. Four sponsors down the road saying, you know, when's my time slot to charge my boat? Or when? I just could see it opening a can of worms. It's opened one already.
Well, I think it can always be changed if it became that point, but I think how do we know until we try it? And I think it's just like Evelyn said, just being thoughtful, being a good board, being a good, you know, membership. We can't have everything be about, I'm sorry, Trim, we can't have everything be about liability and what ifs, and you know, I mean, why can't we give it a chance?
It won't be pontoon, it will be something else.
Cords running all over the place.
A safe
chance,
I should have said.
Right. Cindy, I do want to say something. If we're talking about putting this place in for people to charge their pontoon boats, that's fine, but like you said, it's got to be done right, and that means we should get a licensed electrician to come out and give us a price, because that's not something that we can do.
Right.
Well, building boat racks, and then Gary and I, you know, the crew, we can do stuff, but we need to have a licensed electrician come out. Give us a price, let us know what it's going to cost to put a few outlets out there, and then we'll have the facts.
Okay.
I also think that if we're going to go this route, and you know, take the time and make it a safe, formal place for people to actually be able to use it, then I think we should consider putting an electrical outlet at Little Beach as well. That's what I think, because I think you're going to have a lot of people. So I think that we need to be forward thinking and to see what it's going to be, so that they also have two places where they can charge their pontoon boats. That's what I think. Okay. We're going to do it. I think we should do it right. Then I think we should make two places.
And First Beach.
Yeah.
No, not First Beach.
Emma's been waiting.
I'm sorry, Emma.
Cindy, the question that comes up is, how many marinas do we want to run? And I think Corinne is right in saying, you start something and you can't, after you have started, you cannot pull back. Once you give an inch, people, it's like the camel. It takes a lot more. So be careful of what you wish for.
Well, we've already started it. So if we stop it now, we are pulling back.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
But then, do you want to expand it and allow it to keep expanding? And how far do you expand? I mean, those are the issues that need to be looked at.
Agree. Gary?
I agree with Kathy. You know, something we do at Little Beach also, but let's start off with the easiest, which is Second Beach. It's right there, the outlet's right there. I can get an electrician to run, you know, give me a price on running underground and put a couple outlets there. And then we can go from there. You know, next year maybe do Little Beach or do something which is more complicated, because we'd have to, you know, get electricity to there. So, yeah.
Well, I think that would give us a good idea. You know, this isn't something that I'm recommending we advertise in every newsletter.
We won't need to advertise it.
No. I know. To a certain extent, but it would be worse if we did advertise it. But, yeah.
I also think
fine works fine.
I think to Corinne's point, though, I think that that some kind of group or committee or whatever should take a look over this summer and see, you know, I have no idea how many pontoons or boats are there, or, you know, I mean, I'm not at Second Beach. I mean, you guys are, but there's pontoon boats at Little Beach. What's over at Reserve Beach? I have no idea. So it might be interesting to see what, you know, how much space there is.
There's enough of us even right here on the board that use Second Beach, so
right.
you'll definitely get a report.
So is there consensus to get a group to look into this first, or am I hearing Gary's call an electrician and you're putting plugs in? I just want to be clear. What's the consensus?
We both?
You got to get a price. Yeah. You have to get a price so you know where you stand. Start there, I would.
I think, and I don't, you don't think this is something you talk about to more people at the June meeting? Because, no?
I think it needs to, it will come up anyways.
Yeah.
Some point it's going to come up.
So it was a topic, like she said a couple of years ago, about First Beach, with people not wanting people to charge the vote, so.
Yeah, yeah, that was part of the topic.
Well, First Beach was a lot because of the extension price. I mean, I don't think the money is really a big issue, but, I mean, I don't mind. We have a little committee, but in the meantime, I could get a price, so when that committee meets, they'll know at least what we're talking about, you know.
Because you will end up with more boats moored around wherever you've got one of these charging stations.
Right.
Boats that don't exist in time right now, you will have.
Correct.
That's just one of the thoughts the committee would have to think about.
Yep. You can do one of those car chargers where they charge you to do it. You know, you plug it in and you pay for it or something.
Not a bad idea.
Maybe that's a thought. You know, well, I was kidding, but maybe that's actually a thought. You could charge it.
Ryan probably knows this, but one of the members that I thought was coming on tonight had made a recommendation that, you know, maybe everybody who routinely uses that charging port pays $25 a season, which would be more than enough, you know. That he was going to suggest that. I don't know why he's not here tonight, but, you know, that's something we could look at. But I don't know, from what Lee said, the cost that he has figured, it's not a huge cost.
We could ask for a donation but not require it, or, you know, say, hey, if you're charging, keep in mind it does cost money, throw a little donation towards an event or something or whatever.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we donated $50 quite a few years ago. That probably covers it for quite a while, but and we don't even use it really anymore. If you have a good solar, if you have solar on your pontoon boat, unless you use it every day, you should hardly ever have to charge it, really.
I see. I also think once you start charging people for it, then it's a service you're providing, and they are going to demand, you know, their time, their slot, their, I think it's going to be hard.
Plus, you'll get somebody that's not paying, and the other one's charging, and the other people are going to say, hey, I'm paying money, and how come, you know, you're not paying money?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I don't
know. The other thing you can look at, too, is not everybody uses all the services in the different parts of the lake.
Right.
We paid well over $200,000 a few years back to have the tennis courts redone. I've never once held a tennis racket in my hand. So as far as the charging things go, if we give people a place to charge their boat, it's not going to make me go out and buy a pontoon boat just because there's a plug there.
Good point, Dave.
Right, every beach is different. Like, we don't have Wi-Fi at Second Beach. Like, and I know why we put in the Wi-Fi, but everyone gets to use, like, we can't start nickel and diming people because we all have different choices of what we enjoy when we're at the lake and how we spend our time there.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So, any more thoughts on both docks charging?
I'd just like to know if anyone else has an opinion on not using the boat stickers.
Let's do a show of hands, just off the, you know, doesn't have to be a motion or anything formal, but let's do a show of hands of who thinks it's not necessary to have the green boat stickers, as long, but to have the names or the addresses on the boats. So raise your hand if you think it's not necessary. Okay, so that's unanimous. Well, almost unanimous.
Well, I mean, I think the boat sticker gives one more way of identifying whose boat it is. If somebody didn't put the name down and they have the sticker, you at least know that somebody can be traced. Otherwise, if they don't have the name nor the sticker, you're in the same situation.
But then their boat isn't our problem.
Right.
Hey, either way, if they're in there after November, they go down to the softball field, so
the ball field,
and then it's their problem to go get it. So.
Right.
And are we going to change the date? Are we agreed on that? March 15th to November 30th.
March 15th to November 30th.
Yeah, I go for that. I'll make a motion. If you need to make a motion, I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Lead the boat in March 15th to November 30th.
Okay. Okay, so you heard the motion. All in favor?
Yep. Aye.
Unanimous.
I don't think anybody's opposed, so it's unanimous, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to build more boat racks, right? We also decided that.
Yeah.
And Gary's going to get a price for putting the electric underground, but we're not going to do it yet, right?
Yeah.
And so should we bring this up at the June meeting for the association to talk about at all, or no?
Get together first and get the price of electrical and who's ever going to be on that committee to look into it.
Is there going to be a committee? Are we making a committee? Yes?
If we need a committee, maybe we don't need a committee.
I don't feel that we need one.
Okay.
Personally.
I think we should have all the facts. We should have all the facts before we bring it to the people. The cost and whatever we feel is important.
So if we could do that by our May meeting, that would be about a month. That would give us a little more ammunition.
Okay. I was going to say, I think it will take the whole, like, most of the summer season to kind of figure out the pontoon boat usage coming and going, no?
No, I meant the price and facts and figures together.
Right. Okay.
Anybody have anything else?
No.
I just have one other old business question. Did we ever research Venmo?
We did a little bit. It's
so cute.
It's not actually probably worth it. It's not. If you become a business, we're considered a business. We're not a person.
Okay.
You know, and then it opens a whole can of worms.
Okay.
Going from friend to friend or business, it's easy, and you don't want to be the one that all of a sudden is accepting bingo things from everyone and $50 right. And collect it, and you know, so it's just not. It's not set up for our sort of situation.
Okay.
Oh, so I'd like to bring up something.
Hold on a second. So Angela talked about, I just think with so many new people that having like sort of a welcome wagon kind of thing on the Friday of Memorial Day weekend would be kind of a nice thing. Carolyn Kress actually said she would donate some libations or whatever. But I don't think, so I thought I would get a list from the realtors, as many realtors as I could, of new people. And personally invite them one way or the other, and not make it like a whole association event, but more or less for the new people and the board members. I get all kinds of questions on, you know, who could I call for my trash pickup? You know, how do I join the association? That some realtors just don't explain that to their people. Right. And the septic is another one. So I thought I would draft like a nice little sheet of facts and figures. So if any of you have anything that you think would be pertinent for that, if you would send it to me, I think that would be nice. And if you're around on the 28th of May, it would be nice if they could meet the board members.
The big thing that you can say, Cindy, is to make sure that new the owner's guide tab on the Lake Hayward website answers almost all those questions.
Yeah, I know.
But making sure they know about that tab.
Yeah, this is something they could put on the refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to have a night like that, Cindy. Remember it was newcomers night?
I thought I did, yeah.
Yeah, the first time I was on the board we had that. I think as a matter of fact it might have been combined with the ice cream social.
Yeah, it used to because I used to, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we did it like July 4th weekend, or maybe it was Memorial Day, but I just think it would be a nice thing to do.
A really yep. nice
thing. No
Gail used to do it. Gail used to do it, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
okay,
so
good.
Yeah, if any more ideas other than what's on the website, let me know. And Evelyn, you had something else?
I don't know if I should bring this up or not.
Let me see what's in that bottle first.
Water.
Okay. Bring it up.
So when I said I would be the Office 365 person,
yeah,
because I had experience with it, not the Office 365 I'm used to. So a suggestion has come in to go with Google, and I'm wondering. I mean, does anybody absolutely have to have Office 365, or can I look into the Google Drive and Gmail? I know it's all about conflicts of interest and access to documents and emails, but kind of want to know what you guys think.
Check out the alternative and find out what it has, and then we can judge.
Right. It's about the same price. I mean, I've checked that out with them. It's about the same price. Might be a little cheaper.
I personally struggle, as Kathy knows, I struggle with the Microsoft products because I'm used to the Google. So I'd prefer that by far, just like I prefer Zoom over the GoToMeeting because the reception's a lot better.
You know we have meeting things as part of Office 365. Which is what I'm saying. We're not using Office 365 the way we should be using it because we're not familiar with it. When I used Office 365, I had 10 calendars open in front of me at one time. I mean, that's how I used it. There's a meeting thing on 365.
Teams.
Right? So I'm
if we switched to Google, we could use Google Meet.
I mean, we have things nobody knows how to use. You know, nobody's ever been trained on this. And I think if we could get something that's a little more user-friendly for everybody.
So do you know how to the Google one?
I
will do everything through Bob. I will be so happy, like, no pressure, but I would be so happy because I'm struggling so bad with Microsoft. Even the things that were linked into the newsletter, and I was talking about this with Evelyn the other day, on Google, there's a real easy button that I can make a link that anyone on the web can view it, and I can keep all of my things in one spot. Microsoft isn't letting me do that. I can let all of you as board members view it, but there's not an option to make it public to anyone. When I was trying to do it, I was getting this message by sending poor Evelyn the message at 9 o'clock last night, which I'm sure she loved. And, you know, we're trying to figure these things out, where I just feel, and maybe it's because it's what I'm used to, but I mean, I could do everything in Google in my sleep, and I just think it's more user friendly. And I think more people are familiar with it. I think more people are in Gmail, in Google calendars, you know, using the Google sites, you know, than Microsoft. But that's just me. And again, and a new board 2 years from now might be a total different makeup and have a total different opinion. So I think we need to be mindful of that because it could change. But personally, I will take on helping all of you with Google. I will be your training and I will be really happy. But I'll figure Microsoft out if I'm the only one that feels that way.
I think we go with the youngest person on the board because I'm a computer dyslexic.
I should never have volunteered for this because it's not what I thought it was.
Yeah. 365 is a real pain in the neck.
Yeah, I'm used to Office 365, and it's all right, but I have no problem learning something new, and if we go to Google, that's fine with me.
All right, I'll look into it some more.
Oh, my God, I'm so happy.
Until you get 8 of us calling you all the time, how do I do
that's
this?
Fine. That's fine. We'll do happy hours on the back deck, and we'll do little tutorials. You know what we could do? We could put it on the screen, like the big blow-up screen. We could all come down to the beach, and we'll project it up there, and you'll all get to see it. It'll be great.
After this step, that actually sounds like a good night out.
Right? Speaking of which, in case you guys, speaking of nights out, just that the restrictions, there was another update from the governor today. So the restrictions are due to loosen on May 1st and again on May 19th if things continue to go the way that they're going. So just as we're thinking about events and planning for the summer, hopefully that positive trend continues because I think that'll make things a lot easier with the things that we're trying to plan for the membership in terms of events.
I do have a question. If the trends continue to get better, are we thinking that we're going to try to do like Hayward Days this year?
So I haven't taken it off the table because I was hoping. Okay. So I guess, maybe I think it's kind of it's so hard because I would love to say everything's going to be normal. Like, every day the news, changes.
Obviously, if the trends it can change, but the governor's said as of the 19th, everything is completely open again. There's no restrictions at all.
Oh, really?
And businesses, of course, can have their own sets, but his emergency powers expire on the 20th of May, as does the mask mandate with him. So even wearing a mask after May 19th may be optional, but the legislature may still come and put something in if his things don't. Hold on.
So we're planning on Hayward Week, unless things drastically changed and we would have to cancel.
And I think we should plan on having our main meeting in person if we can.
Yeah, in the pavilion.
Pavilion.
I agree.
Please shoot for the pavilion, and one of the reasons is maybe some of the dam committee would want to come, just for a little. Or are we set on having it at someone's home?
I'm against the pavilion. It's not private enough. There's too much noise, cars driving by. I'd much rather be at somebody's house.
It during the summer anyways, Dave. We have them there all during the summer.
Yeah.
The pavilion.
Yeah. Well, I think it's at my house, right? My cottage.
Yeah.
Mine might be finished by then.
So are we not going to have meetings at the pavilion this summer at all?
We should talk about it.
You can if you want. I don't find it terribly comfortable, but...
Me neither.
No, I don't either.
I hate it.
I mean, I have comfortable deck chairs that we could use if you want to be outside, but that's up to you guys. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
But we'll plan on the May meeting being at Kathy's and then subject to change, okay?
I mean, we can meet outside if you want. It just gets dark and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
so.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, people?
Yes. I have something. I was working on the job descriptions, and part of that was going down into the pavilion, and I looked through those two buckets of things that Leah said there might be some stuff in there. Evelyn and I went through them, and there's really nothing there, but I mean, it's just old receipts and just old, I mean, old, old stuff. I just think it needs to be shredded up, most of that stuff. And I'd be willing to do that if you guys want me to. Just wanted to get your permission first.
I went home and took a shower after.
Yeah, save it. Sorry, that's not an option. We have to save that stuff.
Why?
There's some that are back in 19...
We have to save it.
7 years, I think, right?
1990?
Not for a municipality. We have to save it.
Forever.
Really?
Every little letter, every little piece, every little thing.
Yeah, no. I think we should, Lee and I can go through what the requirements are for the municipality. I think they've changed. Like, for example, for tax records, we need to maintain 15 years of experience. For financial records, it's a lot less than that. But we can provide a list of what we have to retain, and then anything outside of that can be shredded.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's stuff in there that's just, like, binders of, like, maybe a past president who just, like, put everything he or she got in the binder, and it's not in any kind of organizational manner. It just goes from maybe a letter from the water company to a letter to somebody else, to maybe a receipt for receiving the pavilion, and I mean, it's all like that.
Right.
A lot of stuff like that.
I think I can provide you with some guidance once go back and do a little bit of homework on the record retention for municipality.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay.
And then
we'll if that's changed, Ed, let me know.
Yes, we.
Thank you, sir. Hey, I've only had your best interest, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I mean, those records are all very moldy and pretty disgusting as well.
Yes, so. I agree.
Yeah. Also, with the job descriptions, Mike Trochi forwarded me his, so that was good, but you guys all need to work on yours. So whenever you can get that to me, that would be great. And I talked with Jeff Walters, and because Dave had said that he had done this project once when he was the president, and he doesn't have any paperwork. He gave everything to Gail Myers, and I sent an email to Gail Myers and to Bonnie Sudell to see if they had any paperwork about job descriptions in their files, and Gail said that maybe she had a flash drive somewhere without a name on it that she might have that Jeff gave to her. I said he had everything on a flash drive. And I haven't heard from Bonnie if she knows of anything. So I'm still in search of those old job description records.
Wouldn't it be great if
so great
put a doc somewhere with this?
So that's that. That's it.
Anybody have anything else? Okay, then we need a motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much.
Good night.
And good luck to you tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, we have to make good luck tomorrow.
Good luck.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Go.